This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Cioli podcast.
All right, well, it turns out that the craziness of the last week's White House visit is not over, because Nancy Pelosi still won't move the USMCA bill, which would directly benefit Pennsylvania. The White House Christmas tree is from Pennsylvania. It will get much more done in Washington than Bob Casey will, our senator. And over in New Jersey, 44% of people want to leave. I don't blame them. I'm one of them. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. The Cioli Show on Twitter at Rich Cioli and Facebook.com/Cioli Show. But first, let me begin with Canada for a second here, because Canada has decided to drop the use of the word midget in their age-level youth hockey descriptions.
Of course.
Term midget. Now, Dawn, I know your boys play football, right?
Yes.
They're huge, though. Midget would not qualify for either of them.
No. No. I mean, they're, you know...
Monsters.
Michael is almost... He just turned 15. He's almost 6'2". And David's 5'10", and he's only in the seventh grade.
Hmm.
So they're giant. It's the Norwegian side.
Yeah, no,
it's
apparently.
Huge. Vikings.
Now, when you signed the boys up early on, did they have to play in the midget league? Would they call it midget ball?
They never played in a midget.
But did they have the name?
No. I think they called it, what did they call it? I don't think they call it midget. I don't
Pee-wee?
Remember. Pee-wee? Yeah, Pee-wee. That's
Pee-wee.
It.
Pee-wee. Well, as if that's better. Pee-wee.
Like, you think of Pee-wee Herman. I'd rather have midget, but yeah.
Well, apparently it's offensive to people with dwarfism. And so a person with dwarfism complained, and they said it's offensive. So so now they're not going to call it dwarf or midget anymore. Midget hockey, midget football, anything like that. So that, now you know. Now you know that word is offensive. Did you know that before?
I guess so. I mean, but it's a thing. Being a midget, that's a technical term, right?
No, I think it's being a dwarf is a tech, like dwarf tossing, for example.
No, I think, okay, I'm not going to get technical on you. I knew somebody whose child had dwarfism. That's the dwarf is very different than a midget.
Very different than a midget.
Yes, dwarf. I don't want to. Yeah. If you have dwarfism, there are a lot of health problems associated with it. But if you're a midget, you're just like shorter. But you're perfectly healthy. Like the Game of Thrones star is a midget. He's not a dwarf.
Are you sure midget is the politically acceptable term? I don't know if it's a politically correct nomenclature.
I don't, you know, maybe not.
We should check. I mean, it changes all the time. That's the problem, right?
I know. You got to know all
I
this
do know,
stuff.
Though, when Senator Mazie Hirono put in that brave bill to ban dwarf tossing.
Yeah, oh, that's
you remember
right.
that?
Because there's midget wrestling. That's pro wrestlers.
Right. But she, Mazie Hirono, the senator from Hawaii, the dumbest senator in the Senate, came out with a ban on dwarf tossing, and the dwarf community spoke out and said, you know, for a lot of us, it's how we make our living, being tossed around. So don't ban it, because it's our job, you know?
So would you guys like to know what's on the Little People of America website?
There's actually yes. Damn right I would.
Okay, so the definition of dwarfism is a medical or genetic condition that usually results in an adult height of 4'10" or shorter. So anybody with the height between 2'8" and 4'8" is a dwarf. Now, a midget is on here. It says in some circles, a midget is a term used for a proportionate dwarf. However, the term has fallen into disfavor and is considered offensive by most people of short stature. The term dates back to 1865, the height of the freak show era, and was generally applied only to short statured persons who are displayed for public amusement, which is why it is considered unacceptable today.
Okay, gotcha. So. Unacceptable today. So you don't want to say midget anymore?
I mean, according to the Little Persons for America website, I thought dwarfism, though, had to do with somebody who had like a bigger head than,
you know
what I mean? Like a midget, well, I guess you can't say that, but... Like a dwarf.
See, it is interesting, though, that Canada decided to tackle this problem and nobody even knows what the hell the right term is. Right?
I mean, midget wrestling, midget, you know, football was like everybody called it that when we were younger.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And nobody thought of actual, you know, I don't think anybody associated with an actual dwarf or an actual
like tattoo
midget.
From Fantasy Island.
Yes, exactly.
Would he be a midget? The guy who plays. Mini-Me in the Austin Powers movies? Is he a midget or is he a dwarf?
Troyer.
Yeah, he's great, great actor. I don't know.
See,
all I know is that there's a the term that'll be the next thing. If your school has midget blank, that'll be the next thing they come after. Just be prepared for it.
Oh, Vern Troyer died in 2018. I didn't even know.
Oh, that's right. He did. Yeah, he was in the Jackass movies too, right?
No, that was somebody else.
Oh, okay.
there was another one in there.
But that's so just be on the lookout for if your school has a midget blank wrestling, football, whatever it is, that's the next target that they're coming after.
Yes.
Yeah, I think they've already, a lot of schools already like changed it to peewee, or they go with JV, you know, they'll go to JVB or something. Yeah. They'll, you know, do that for the younger kids.
But you know what? I mean, I got to tell you, peewee is not exactly any more like, you know what I mean? Yeah, it's still about height. You're still making a height comment,
it's
right?
True. Right.
It's true.
So if a person's little, I would imagine they'd still be offended by that, I would think, right?
True.
See, this is the problem of going down the road of PC, is that how do you then come up with a term that doesn't offend somebody in some way, shape, or form, right?
Yeah, just call it kids, like for kids. Kids ball, or define it by their age, something like that.
And Mama Zioli just texted me. She said, Patrick said, thanks, Daddy, because I always call him that. He's my mini-me.
Oh.
Oh, mini?
Yeah, Patrick is my mini-me. Yeah.
I mean,
we look exactly alike.
Yeah.
So, hey, buddy, I'm glad you're listening. My mini-me is listening to me right now.
It's so sweet.
My little buddy.
Incidentally, Tattoo was a dwarf, was technically a dwarf, but he preferred to be called a midget.
He preferred to be called a midget.
Wow. Identified as a midget.
So you have the ability then to come out and say, well, I would prefer to be called a midget, please, not a dwarf. But then they turn around and go, no, but dwarf is the politically correct nomenclature. Then you say, well, I don't care. I want you to call me a midget.
Yeah.
Is that right?
I suppose so.
And then when Senator Mazie Hirono takes the time out of the United States Senate to ban dwarf tossing, does that encompass midgets tossing as well? We live in the dumbest times we've ever lived in.
I can't believe
we're in the history of the earth.
This but I promise you, like, I'm looking at Mayo Clinic, usually dwarfism.
You know, I'm bored. I'm done with it. Forget it. Forget it. Who cares? You know what? Who cares? What do you care? Why do we care? Why are we talking about this?
Why do we have to have all these labels either?
Why
don't
bring
just this up? Call them a man or a kid?
They also got rid of the Victoria's Secret fashion show. That's gone now. Do you know that?
Yes.
Thank God.
That was in my news. You guys never listen to me.
I do listen.
Not today.
It's radio.
I know.
It's a 3.5-hour show. Not everybody listens to every minute of the show. We always want to pretend like it's new.
Okay.
4 years. 4 years, Dawn. Four
takes
years.
She still takes it personally.
It was in my news.
As Dawn reported at 6:02 a.m., yes, the Victoria. Now, Greg, why do you say thank God they get rid of the Victoria's Secret fashion show?
Well, because now we sexism is over, right? I'm assuming that's the reason.
We saw sexism.
I'm assuming that's the reason.
Well, see, because my daughter Claire, who's listening as well, who's so beautiful, I would love for Claire to be a. I mean, she could be a model tomorrow. My Papa Zioli won't let me, but she could be a model tomorrow. But I mean, you could still appreciate, you know, beauty and everything like this in life, right? I think it's more of an attack on beauty than anything else, isn't it?
Agreed.
It is.
Yeah.
It's an attack on beauty. And if you're one of those supermodels who makes a fortune, you know, this, don't they have, aren't they entitled to make a job, to have a job, have a career?
Absolutely.
And they're an athlete.
But then again, is it PC, or is it that the market was just not, nobody was watching the Victoria's Secret show because you don't have to wait to turn on television to see scantily clad women. You can just go on your phone.
Right. Well, that's true.
So, I mean, honestly, I want to know, which is it? Is it that the Me Too movement won, or is it the fact that people just go, why would I tune in at night to see them when I can literally Google Victoria's Secret models and see them right now?
Okay, I'm going to tell you, because Victoria's Secret models used to be more bodacious, and then they started to get PC, and they said, well, we're not going to have women who are as well endowed or as curvaceous.
Right.
And that is when I think the decline began. I'm just saying.
And when they started to look like wafers, in other words.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Or they didn't have, they weren't as busty or whatever. You know, I'm just saying.
Well, you know, there's, remember that one model who, like Heroin Chic was around for a while. Remember
yes,
that?
Yes.
I'm Heroin Chic now.
That was,
thanks to Nutrisystem. I look like I'm doing heroin. It's a great feeling.
It was that Kate Moss in the 90s?
Yes, Kate Moss, yeah. Right.
And Who did Angelina Jolie? She's from this area. Gia?
I'm just saying, I think that it's easy to blame that on hashtag Me Too, but it's also easy to blame it on the internet and the fact that these things are not... because of the times in which we live now, these things are no longer racy. There's nothing racy about the Victoria's Secret model, fashion show.
Yeah.
Back in the day, that when that magazine or whatever came out, or the web or whatever, they were gorgeous. They were the most gorgeous women you've ever seen in your life. And so that they changed that over time. They wanted to make them look more tomboyish or more regular, but people can see regular people, like you just said, on the internet 24/7.
So this is what's happening now in our country. Playboy magazine, for example, they got rid of nudity, and then they put it back in. And the new thing they want to do now is they want to be woke, right? So they want to actually have models in there who look to be, you can't tell their gender. Now, that's going to work out really, really well for them in the long run. I predict huge, huge success. A, no one subscribes to magazines anymore. B, it's going to be like, I like a non-binary kind of magazine. I want my magazines to arrive in paper bags, non-binary models, please. the concealed paper bag distribution, and then open it up and go, man, woman, I don't know.
Well, see,
that is the political correctness, though. That's what I'm saying. It's the taking over of that. You can't praise beauty. You can't say a woman's beautiful. You can't even say it's a woman anymore.
Right.
And so to be woke now, you have to then be able to turn around and go, well, is it a man? Is it a woman? It's up to you. I don't know. This is woke magazine. Magazines are not doing well to begin with. You know, the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition tried this, did they not?
They did.
They did.
Yep.
How did that work out for them?
Did not
work out for them, right?
This is Sports Illustrated, by the way.
Yeah. And by the way, what I think women need to come out and say, we have LGBTQ. What about the W? So in other words, to me, it's like you can't hijack
the hell's the W?
Woman.
No, that's not part of it.
Yeah, that should, because everybody's...
LGBTQW?
Yeah, because they're all fighting. They're all fighting for their consonant. And so women, they're hijacking being a woman. I don't think that's right.
We're going to add W, so it's LGBTQW? I got to make women now a protected class?
Yeah, I think we should be first.
Oh, my God.
W, LGBTQ.
Oh, my God. There's another group now that can claim victim status. They already have it.
This is what we need.
I'm pretty sure they already take that W and they run with that W.
We could do M. We could do W for women, then men.
How about the entire
the
alphabet?
Yeah.
Okay? I've said this before. It should be the entire alphabet.
We could rewrite A, B, C. We could just rewrite the song. You know,
It should be LGBTQ, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. I know my kids are listening. Do it along with Daddy, guys. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And you cover every group that's offended by everything out there, and you get it done in one shot, okay?
Sounds good.
Good. Excellent. Fantastic.
I just think those groups are hijacking being a woman, and you can't hijack that. It's not
Well, that's why
fair.
You want to add the W. We got it, right?
Yeah,
I know.
First.
They're all hijacking the women thing. All right. Anything else?
And don't deep fry your turkey.
Okay. And don't deep fry the turkey. All right.
Those are my talking points for the day.
You sure? LGBTQW and M for midgets.
No, men.
LGBTQWMDs.
What's the
like
D?
Weapons of mass destruction.
Oh, no.
Women, midgets, and dwarfs. LGBTQWMD. That's going to be the new thing now. All right, Mr. Mayor, I demand equality and protection for the LGBTQWMD community. And just leave it at that and walk out of City Hall. See what Kenny does, all right? I've got more of this nonsense, by the way. But I also got to tell you that the president said about the USMCA trade agreement.
Thanks for taking the Scioli Show with you. Rich Scioli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Okay. 855-839-1210 is the number today for you to weigh in on all things in the show. Now, the USMCA was the subject of the meeting at the White House last week, and the president had a lot to say about it with me, obviously, in the interview. He also spoke recently about it, I believe it was yesterday as well. Pelosi still not going to want to put the USMCA up for a vote. Take a listen.
The USMCA, that's the deal, the trade deal, the great trade deal for the farmers, manufacturers, workers of all types, including union. It's sitting on Nancy Pelosi's desk. She's incapable of moving it. It looks like she can't. Everybody knows it's a great deal. She knows it's a great deal. She said it. She keeps saying she wants to get it done, but we're talking about many, many months sitting on her desk, no votes. And she doesn't have to help with the Democrats because they're going to vote for it, most of them. And I guess all of the Republicans are going to vote for it. But the system is, the way the system works, she has to put it up for a vote. And she hasn't wanted to do it because I understand a couple of the unions, AFL-CIO, they are asking her to hold it for a while because maybe you look, make Trump look bad, although I get a lot of votes out of the AFL-CIO, except for maybe the top, who I actually like, Richard Trumka, nice guy. But Nancy Pelosi should put it up for a vote because at some point pretty soon you're going to have Canada and you're going to have Mexico say, what's going on? Send the agreement back. Let's not make the deal. And I wouldn't blame them at all. And that's okay. We'll just blame Nancy.
It's very similar to what the president said to me in the Oval Office, without a doubt. And nothing's changed on that point. Now, why don't Democrats get called out for their inaction on getting anything done legislatively? You notice that? They do not get called out on getting anything done. Nothing is getting done legislatively. It's all about impeaching the president. And the pause that's going on right now, the only reason why there's a pause is just because simply Congress is on recess. But what they're going to do when they get back is start up impeachments again, start up investigations. So yesterday, the federal judge ruled that Don McGahn, the former White House counsel, must testify before the impeachment committee. The networks hailed this as a huge win. Oh, they were all in on this. That was the greatest thing ever. They thought this was outstanding that they were going to do this, that he's been ordered to testify. Celebrating this as a win for Democrats. This is now ABC, CBS, NBC praising this ruling. This ruling will be appealed. This will go to the Supreme Court, obviously. CBS Evening News anchor Norah O'Donnell with a giggle. Giggling over this, of course. Of course, the White House counsel, Don McGahn, his client at the time, the president of the United States, his attorney-client privilege would extend under executive privilege as well. So I believe that the courts will say he does not have to testify, although you could argue that under the Nixon standard with the tapes that maybe they would say that in an impeachment, the Congress has to get every information. There's no shield for a president in the Constitution based on the fact his pardon power does not extend into matters of impeachment because he cannot pardon himself if he's being impeached by the Congress. So it's an interesting case, and it'll be an interesting Supreme Court case, but it's not over. It's in no way, shape, or form over. And by the way, it's not over with the tax return issue either. All the Supreme Court did yesterday was say he doesn't have to turn them over for now. And the question then becomes, will the state of New York, will the entity of the legal entity of the state, and then the city of New York being a sub-entity of that, do they have the authority to compel the president of the United States to turn over information in a criminal case that could implicate him? That's never been tested before in the courts. So that will go to the Supreme Court as well. But the networks, yeah, Don McGahn has to testify. Just giddy. Cut 11.
More breaking news. A federal judge has just ruled that former White House counsel Don McGahn must testify before Congress. Now, this is a potential game changer in the impeachment inquiry. Paula Reed is at the White
game
House
changer.
And reading through this 100.
By the way, yeah, it was bombshell last week. It's game changer this week. Bombshell last week, game changer this week. If you're playing along with this Yoli Show home game, all right?
It's a fun game.
Potential game changer in the impeachment inquiry. Paula Reed is at the White House and has been reading through this 120-page ruling as quickly as she can. But Paula, break down, what's the significance of this?
Nora, this long-awaited decision is a win for Democrats because it effectively pierces the White House's long-standing effort to block current and former officials from cooperating with House investigators. And Nora, in reading through this, I was struck that the judge specifically said that no matter how busy or essential a presidential aide might be, the president cannot excuse that official from complying with the law.
Late tonight, in a blow to President Trump, a federal judge ordered White House counsel Don McGahn to comply with a subpoena to testify before Congress. The White House had attempted to block his testimony, and the Justice Department has already announced it will appeal the judge's order, setting up a precedent-setting case at the Supreme Court, with implications for other witnesses in the impeachment inquiry. It comes amid a new sign impeachment is on a fast track. House Intelligence Chairman Adam Schiff announced today he will release a report shortly after Thanksgiving, revealing, quote, a fact pattern that is overwhelming, unchallenged, and damning.
Lester, that's right. This ruling is a setback to President Trump's efforts to keep his top aides from testifying. A federal judge has ordered that former White House counsel Don McGahn must appear before Congress. Now, late tonight, the Justice Department saying it will appeal. The outcome could lead to renewed efforts by House Democrats to compel testimony from other top officials, like former National Security Advisor John Bolton. Meanwhile, top Democrat Adam Schiff writing about the impeachment investigation, quote, the evidence of wrongdoing and misconduct by the president that we have gathered to date is clear and hardly in dispute.
Wow. A federal judge made a ruling. I mean, that's huge. Now there'll be another ruling and then it'll go to Supreme Court. But it's a blow. It's a big blow. The enthusiasm is just pure, pure giddy right there. It's absolutely amazing. I just, it's darling. 855-839-1210. Dave is in Marlton. Good morning, Dave. How are you today?
Good, good. I'm sorry. I was waiting to get you to speak. Thanks for taking my call. Love your show, Rich.
Thanks,
I just
want
to make a comment about the USMCA. I love everything Donald Trump's been doing since he got in office. Pulled us out of the Paris Treaty, Climate Treaty, pulled us out of TPP, Trans-Pacific Partnership, pulled us out of UNESCO, told the UN to go find your money somewhere else. But the USMCA is a disaster. It was written by Lighthizer. The same man who wrote the TPP, and 57% of what was in the TPP is in the USMCA. International bureaucrats will control our borders. And if you don't climate change, if you don't like climate change, the Law of the Sea Treaty is in the USMCA. That was pushed by Hillary Clinton. That will give the United Nations control of almost three quarters of the planet. That's the oceans.
And I'm not sure. I don't. Nobody brought up any language about the UN controlling anything with regards to USMCA.
Well, the Law of the Sea Treaty, which they could not get through Congress for decades, is in the USMCA. You just read the USMCA. That would give the United Nations control of the oceans. And guess what goes in the oceans? The rivers. And guess what goes in the rivers? The streams. So if you have a creek in your backyard, that's UN domain. It's all in the document.
I can't imagine President Trump supporting something like that.
I know you can't, and a lot of people, I can't. I love his policies. I don't understand. Look at the document.
Okay, I'll take a look at it. It's news to me. Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. Have a happy Thanksgiving, my friend. 855-839-1210 is the number. Certainly, that would be a disaster. So I could, but again, I can't imagine him supporting anything that would give the UN more power. He's been a very, very outspoken critic of the UN. Could a bureaucrat sneak something in there? Absolutely. You know, it's why you always got to be careful with this stuff. But, you know, if you had a vote on the bill in the House, then the Senate could then tackle something like that, right? And they could amend it. You know, Rand Paul, Mike Lee, Ted Cruz, make sure that anything like that that's in there goes away. And then send it back to the House. They can reconcile it, send it to the president's desk. No Law of the Sea treaty impacted by the USMCA. But in order for that to happen, what has to happen first? Nancy Pelosi first has to bring it to a vote in the House. This is not a standard treaty in the sense of the Senate confirming a treaty. This is an agreement. There's a difference. It has to, and so it has to originate in the House. So Pelosi, the vampiric one, must bring this for a vote first. Any issues like that that are in there can be worked out. And they can work it out in the Senate when the Republicans are in control and they can take care of it. But the reason why she's not even bringing it for a vote is because she, Nancy Pelosi, does not want to give the president a win, period. Doesn't want to give him a win on anything. And this is something that workers want. This is something that would benefit a lot of workers in Pennsylvania, for example. Again, you can work out details. I mean, you can work, there's a lot you can do when you actually bring it up on the floor. You offer amendments, you know, amendments to strike any language in there that would cause the United States to lose any sovereignty if there's something like that in there. Yeah, but get rid of those poison pills, absolutely. But you can't do that until there's a vote. And I mean, and this is the problem of why Pelosi's sitting on just pretty much everything now, whether it's prescription drug controls, which I don't support, by the way. You know, I mean, as a conservative, this is one of those areas I part ways with the president, but he supports that. They could bring that for a vote. They have a massive federal infrastructure program. Again, this is one of those areas that I depart from the president. I don't want a big federal infrastructure package, but he does. Democrats do. Why not pass that? Why not have that? It's all about not giving him a win on anything, on anything. And it's pure politics is what it is. And remember something too, you know, this issue of this impeachment that's going on is it consuming our country. It's not over yet. They're not going to let it be over. Adam Schiff said over the weekend, he said, You know, the obstruction of Congress goes well beyond Ukraine, and that's the next thing we're going to look into. They've conceded that they got nothing on the president with Ukraine. They conceded it. So now it's what's next. What next thing can they try to go after him on? They're not going to stop. There was a Democrat congresswoman who said yesterday, she said, the election is so close, why not just let the voters decide? It's a great question, right? Why not let the voters decide? They know that if the voters decide, he's going to win again. That's what they've been saying. So they got nothing on Ukraine. There's nothing they can actually say is a high crime and misdemeanor here. Are they calling it a day politically? No, they're not. They should. They should. I mean, that'd be the smart politics, right? Call it a day. Try to get some stuff done. Battle over issues. In the old days, what Democrats would do in election years, they would put up things to make Republicans sound mean, right? They'd start giving out free lunches to kids and, you know, give people wheelchairs and let Republicans vote no and sound mean. That was the good old days, right? You know, Johnny's not going to have a lunch today because the mean Republicans won't feed him. Though I miss those days. You know, grandma's going to be thrown down the stairs because the Republicans are going to pull the wheelchair out from under her. Those were good times. But the Democrats are so politically stupid now, they won't even do that. They won't even put up these heartfelt, bleeding heart liberal bills, pass them, and talk about the children. Their hatred for Trump is so intense, they will not even go down the road that they used to go down all the time. All the time. You know this. We remember this so well, right? Republicans will take milk out of the baby's mouths, and Republicans will do this and do that. The mean Republicans. And now they've forgotten that strategy completely. That used to be what you did, especially in an election year, right?
Thanks for taking the Zeoli Show with you. Rich Zeoli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Okay. I'll tell you something else, too. The president yesterday had the hero dog at the White House. You heard that in Dawn's news report. I want to make sure I mention that.
Thank you.
That it was in Dawn's news. Okay.
Smarty pants.
I'm turning over a new leaf.
Can you be more specific, Rich? Can you tell exactly
what it was?
It
was in Dawn's news at 5:45, 6:02, 6:42. This is the president yesterday in the Oval Office in the White House in the ceremony honoring the hero dog. Take a listen.
Conan was very badly hurt, as you know, and they thought maybe was not going to recover. Recovered actually very quickly. And has since gone on very important raids. As you know, we captured 100% of the ISIS caliphate. When I took office, we had almost nothing. It was as though they were just forming again, and now it's 100%. And we have done a lot of work since then. We have done a lot of work since the raid. Certain things have happened. Important. So we're in very good shape. We're in very good shape. We've had a lot of help too from other countries. We've really done a job. I just want to thank you all. So this is a special time for Conan, and we really appreciated it. I was told about the breed. I was told about Conan himself, and Conan is a tough cookie.
He's a tough cookie, all right. That was good. That was good. The president recognized that hero dog. You know, it's interesting, too, as we are in the midst of this nutty political season and Thanksgiving is right around the corner. The nothing stops, you know, politically speaking. I mean, nothing ever stops in Washington, even though they're away on recess. The impeachment doesn't stop. None of it stops. But we are in the middle of an election. And because we're in the middle of an election, people say, particularly candidates say a lot of very dumb things, as you know. One of the people that I truly just think is just the gift that keeps on giving, of course, being Bernie Sanders. I mean, Bernie is now admitting he's going to tax people at $29,000 a year. That's huge. That's huge because nobody would say $29,000 a year is rich. He's saying that now. Elizabeth Warren is just putting out now plans that would tax people at 100%. The question I have is, why would you stay? I mean, why would you stay in the United States of America if you're getting taxed at over 100% of your income? You could become an expat, leave the country, and not have to deal with that nonsense anymore. What compels somebody to stay? What compels somebody to stay in a state? Why is it that whenever you have these blue states, like Jersey is a great example of this, and you've got Governor Murphy over there, you know, New Jersey, that guy keeps trying to raise a millionaire's tax, which is not really effective at just millionaires. People make a lot of money. And in New Jersey, you know, $100,000 in Jersey does not go nearly as far as $100,000 does in, say, Kansas. But in his mind, you're rich, and yet you've got all these people leaving the state. This is happening more and more throughout the country. I shared with you a story last week that people in, what is it now? Like New York, New Jersey, these other places, they're moving to Florida. They're moving, the billionaires moving to Florida. Why? Why? Why are they doing this? Well, the sunshine, number one. But number two, they don't want to have to pay all this money in taxes. Not everybody wants to pay all their money in taxes. So you know what? Let me welcome to the program. Regina Ida is the Ida is the president of Garden State Initiative. She's the former chief of staff to Governor Chris Christie, and she is fighting every day for the kind of economic reforms New Jersey needs. Regina, welcome to the show. It's so great to have you.
Thanks for having me, Rich. Happy Thanksgiving, too.
And so, Regina, it's... Gia, by the way, not Adia. Sorry, yeah. Gia. It's early, and I'm a little bit checked out for Thanksgiving. So, so thank you. And on Twitter, at Regina Gia, if people want to connect with you. This is an amazing, amazing. I'm not surprised, though. 44% of people say they want to get out of New Jersey.
Yeah, exactly to the point. It's not really surprising, but it confirms all our worst fears. And I'd point out, you know, two things of great, great concern. You know, one is the younger generation, the 18 to 29-year-old, they are thinking about it within the next 5 years getting out. And, you know, that's when they go into their prime earning years, when they buy homes and start families. So that's very concerning. And to the point you were just making, we didn't really see any difference in the propensity to want to leave across income levels. It's everybody.
It's everybody. It's everybody. And yeah, and that's a great point, Regina, too, because people always think that it's the super rich that want to leave, and they do, and we're seeing more and more of that. But for middle class families, it's very tough to make it, and there's little things too. I always feel like with New Jersey and a lot of states too, but particularly Jersey, it's they nickel and dime you a lot too.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you see it more and more creeping into the public conversation about, you know, looking to raise revenues in ways, you know, as you say, nickel and diming, you know, bit here, bit there, you know, the famous rain tax from, you know, this current session, and looking to, you know, just put more and more of the onus on the income earners in New Jersey and less obligation on the government to spend their money more wisely. And, you know, we spend a lot of time at Garden State Initiative, Rich, I think, as you know, looking at other states and how they do things smarter than we do. And we could really learn from them and really create the ability to lower taxes, because I think that's really what it's going to take now to really incent people to want to stay in New Jersey and for job creators to want to invest here. We have to lower the tax burden.
Yeah, property taxes and the overall cost of living were cited as the main drivers. And that's the point I was making, Regina, is that, you know, $100,000 in Jersey does not go nearly as far as it does in Kansas and lots of other places in the country as well. And for a lot of people who retire, you know, the idea of moving to Florida and getting out of New Jersey is something that they are just counting down the days to, until they do it. And they do it. And then people, they have to make sure they stay, what is it, like 6 months and a day or something like
that's
that. Right. And they can't come back to Jersey. Otherwise, then they're subject to the income taxes there.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, and for, you know, people like you and me and many people who want to stay here and are committed to New Jersey, how this also shows up is in GDP, you know, our gross domestic product. We have an economy that's slower, not compared just to Florida, which is dramatically smaller and growing smaller and a smaller rate, but against New York, Pennsylvania, Delaware, all those states, we're growing at a slower and slower rate, both first quarter and second quarter.
Regina Agia is with me. She is the president of Garden State Initiative, and we're talking about the fact that 44% of people say they want to leave New Jersey, citing property taxes and the high cost of living. And yet, you get a guy like Murphy in there, Phil Murphy, and his answer to everything is just to raise more revenue, raise this, raise that, give more money away to people. I mean, at what point do people stop and say, your ideas are not working, you're not creating the kind of future that's going to get people, young people, to your point, Regina, young people, to stay? And if you lose the young people and they don't want to have families in the state, I mean, that's it. The state's done.
Well, right. And I think we saw that in the last election. You know, that in District 1, they, you know, put forward candidates, they put forward a candidate, you know, who really spoke to these issues, and we put them in office in District 1. And, you know, the incumbent.
That's down in South Jersey. The senator who won that race is a conservative, and he ran a great, Mike Testa ran a great campaign.
He did, absolutely. And then District 21 and 25, you know, those incumbents withstood a 4-to-1 spend ratio against them. And John Bramnick, who's the minority leader, you know, he actually won with a greater, you know, margin than he had the last time. I think voters are sending the message that they want reasonable people leading our state and worrying about the economy and worrying about, you know, the affordability of our state. And I think that's what those candidates won on.
At Garden State Initiative, I know that you have a lot of ideas in terms of this economic freedom that we can have, economic reform, economic infrastructure. I mean, what are some of the key points that could be done to, I don't know, make the state at least a little bit more affordable in the short term and then long term as well?
Well, you know, as I said, we look at other states, and most recently we looked at roads, maintenance, and, you know, the redundancy, frankly, that we've got in our government. We were performing the same work at three different levels, the state level, the county level, and the local level. And other states don't do it that way. So we could improve, you know, the overall cost structure of our ongoing, you know, cost of government. But number two, of course, the 800-pound gorilla is the benefits, pension, both pension and health benefits of our public workforce. They have to be reformed. They have to be modernized in a way that really reflects the current market. And, you know, the studies have been done. I didn't do any new work on pension and benefits, but I did benchmark the cost. And the cost of the both health care and pension in New Jersey is 50% higher than the average in the United States. So, you know, it's no escaping that we have to, if we want to compete, and we indeed, you know, we all have to acknowledge, right, that we're competing for jobs and we're competing for residents for the other states, we have to get our costs in line if we want to win. And I want to win, so I'm going to be on that side, and so I'm going to keep fighting the good fight.
Well, you've been fighting that fight for quite some time, Regina, and we appreciate it very much. I mean, you were obviously Governor Chris Christie's chief of staff, and you also have been fighting with Garden State Initiative since you left the governor's office. And I think that it's important for people to understand that New Jersey might be blue and might be run by Democrats, but a lot of the counties, a lot of the towns, that's where you can really make a difference in a lot of these issues. Because, yes, Trenton is where it's so much is going to happen. But to your point about duplicative services, I mean, you know, the idea of towns working together and towns and counties working together and trying to just cut some government, shred some government there. But, of course, the first thing that comes up is then jobs, right? Then people turn around and go, but you're going to lose jobs. You're going to lose police officers. You're going to lose firefighters. You're going to lose government workers. That always comes up, right?
Yeah, and, you know, what better time to think about restructuring than right now? We have an incredibly low unemployment rate, and we have private employers who are looking for skilled individuals to bring into their workforce. I think, frankly, it's an important role for the Department of Labor and Workforce Development that they become a organization that really looks at where the jobs in the private industry that need to be filled, and if we can restructure our government, how can we retrain? And, you know, this is what private industry does all the time, retrain and then place people into the market because there's jobs there waiting to be had. So I think it's actually the exact right time to do restructuring. And, yes, it will mean that, you know, some people won't be in public service, but there's plenty of opportunity in the private service, I think, for them to really flourish.
That's a great point. That's kind of music to my ears, too. You know, it's not just about abandoning people, but helping them make the transition. And then, of course, then you have enormous savings from having less public workers.
Exactly. Because, you know, when you think about it, Rich, if you really look underneath, as you know, we did this project called Adding It All Up, which essentially added up the state budget, all the money that's collected of property taxes, the federal, et cetera. And it's $117 billion. You know, that gets spent, essentially, it gets invested, I should say, you know, from a public spending perspective. And when you really look underneath it, the majority of the spend, and when you think about your property taxes, the majority of what makes up your property taxes are salary and benefits of the individuals in the school, in the public workforce, and in the law enforcement. So inevitably, if you want to drive down, you know, property taxes, we're going to have to address the workforce and how we can, you know, deal with modernizing that as well.
Regina Agia, the president of Garden State Initiative. Hey, Regina, how can people find you and learn more about it?
On the web at gardenstateinitiative.org. And all of our research is on there, and my contact information is on there. So I'd love to hear from any of your listeners who want to either know more or talk about any of the issues.
Well, listen, please keep up the good fight and have a happy Thanksgiving.
You too. Thanks very much for having me, Rich.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Bye, Regina.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
All right, Dawn, I want to mention the LGBTQW movement is taking on.
Thank you very much.
And it's an anti-turkey frying initiative as well.
Yes, anti-turkey frying, pro-woman. Put W
What about
first.
Women who fry turkeys?
No, just women.
No, they're
just
not allowed. They woman. They don't... What about my body, my choice? I want to deep fry a turkey.
My body, my choice, my turkey method.
What if I want to deep fry my bra? Go send a message it. To the man.
Go for it. But bra, nobody burns their bras anymore because they're expensive.
Oh, that's
like
right.
$65
yeah.
to $100.
Yeah, well, I mean, you'd have to be a real dope to burn that. You know what I mean?
Let's get to Zeoli Show News. 40 degrees, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. This news brought to you by Exergen. So convicted comedian Bill Cosby, speaking out from behind bars, says he is prepared to serve his 10-year maximum sentence for sex assault rather than show remorse for a crime he says he did not commit. So Cosby, as you know, serving 3 to 10 in a Pennsylvania state prison after a Montgomery County jury last year convicted him of assault of a Temple University employee 15 years ago. So the 82-year-old speaking out to Black Press USA as he appeals his felony conviction as well as his sex offender status. Moments ago, you heard Zeoli's interview detailing a newly released study which says 44% of residents in New Jersey are planning to leave the state, 28% planning to move out of New Jersey within 5 years. Top reasons: property taxes, high cost of living, government corruption, concerns about crime and drugs. So this story, as well as I'm sure Zeoli's podcast interview later in the day, a top story that a lot of people are commenting on across New Jersey. There's a strong local connection, by the way, to President Trump's new nominee for Navy Secretary. This is retired Navy Rear Admiral Kenneth Braithwaite, currently serving as President Trump's ambassador to Norway. So he earned his master's degree from University of Pennsylvania, met his wife, Melissa, who's a Delco girl, a native of Delaware County. In the mid-90s, Mr. Braithwaite served as town councilman for the borough of Ridley Park. And media mayor Bob McMahon being interviewed by the Delco Times, speaking out, saying, talking about Braithwaite's good work on the board of the Pennsylvania Veterans Museum, saying he was a good guy, hard worker, a real doer. And by the way, Braithwaite was also assigned to the Philadelphia Navy Yard, speaking of which, Zeoli will soon have breaking news about the Navy Yard. So stay tuned for that.
Oh, that's right. Yes. That should be coming up next week.
Yes. So very exciting. So this day, so I thought that was interesting. The Braithwaite was everybody. All my relatives from Delco were, you know, calling me and emailing. They were very excited. A lot of people knew him and know that name.
People in Delco knew each other?
I know.
And excited that one of their own got picked? I mean, that's amazing.
I know. Well, it's like the Delco connection. You know what I mean? Like you're like five shades away from, I don't know. There's always a Delco connection. I don't know what it is.
I love Delco. You got to love Delco.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. So this day in history, 1941, FDR establishes modern Thanksgiving holidays. So FDR 1941. So going viral, this is one of my favorite stories. A home burglar picks the wrong 82-year-old grandma to mess with. So she's Willie Murphy of Rochester, New York. She recently won a World Powerlifter Champion, a natural powerlifter champion. This grandma bench presses. I mean, she's tough. She's fit. 82 years young. So she bashes this guy. The burglar breaks into her house early in the morning. She bashes him with a TV tray and then squeezes a bottle of shampoo in his face. It beats the heck out of this guy. Calls 911. So everybody's interviewing her and it's gone viral. It's a pretty
She's 82 story. Years old, huh?
82.
Wow.
But she's got some muscles, let me tell you. She's not messing around. So good for her. I was going to talk about the hero dog Conan, but we've talked about Conan a lot. If you check out, it's gone viral with President Trump. By the way, a lot of people commenting that President Trump did not pet Conan and the vice president did. The truth is they tell you not to pet these dogs. Because they're canines, they're in service.
Right. They're working dogs.
Exactly. So that's why you don't see the first lady and president. I think they were told do not pet the dog because you always get told that. So I just wanted to because there were a lot of comments, you know, with social media saying, "Oh, why didn't he pet the dog?" That's why.
Well, thank you for setting social media straight. Okay.
Right.
All right.
Eyewitness weather: sunny, 60 degrees today. Gorgeous Tuesday. Tomorrow, 59. Yes, a 40% chance of showers, but still pretty mild. Thursday, Thanksgiving Day. As you roast or bake your turkey, it's going to be windy.
Deep fry the turkey.
It's going to be windy, 50 degrees. So Exergen, 30 million people come down with the flu every year, unfortunately. So the best way to tell if it's a cold or flu, take your temperature. Nobody does that better than the Exergen temporal scanner. I'm Dawn Zilli, Show News, always on the radio.com app.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much, because Thanksgiving is in 2 days. I want to mention to you, we have a little song for you we put together.
Nice.
You know, with all of the political correctness in our day and age in which we live, one of those songs that came under attack recently was Baby, It's Cold Outside. You know, that has been called the Christmas rape song. And they had new lyrics were done by, remember, it was, who was it, Justin Timberlake and Miley Cyrus?
Oh, I thought it was Kelly Clarkson.
No, yeah, it was Kelly Clarkson and John Legend.
Right, I just threw names out there. I have no idea. Anyway, they came out with a new version of Baby, It's Cold Outside, a politically correct woke version of Baby, It's Cold Outside, in which he was going to call her an Uber and get her home for the night. And so my question was, now that Bernie Sanders has his mojo back and he's on the campaign trail and he's got AOC by his side all the time, what would that situation look like in a Baby It's Cold Baby It's Cold Outside Bernie Sanders Sexy Bernie edition?
Oh boy.
AOC, I'd like you to stick around tonight. We have some business to take care of, and I was going to do a fireside reading of Karl Marx.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I really shouldn't, Bernie.
But AOC, I wish you would stay.
Bernie, it's cold outside.
Please don't go away.
Bernie, I already said no.
My etchings of Stalin are very nice.
It doesn't matter because I already said I want to leave.
Your mother won't have to worry.
I'm an independent woman.
Please, Andrea, don't scurry.
You're being creepy, Bernie.
Mix me just a half a drink more.
I'm not a bartender anymore.
I'm very thirsty.
Nothing will happen tonight.
Really, Toots, could you give me my drink?
I'll sue you for everything you've got.
I wish I knew how.
Oh, how to what?
To not make you yell. All you millennial broads with the yelling, just talk like Bernie. Nice and calm to get your message across.
You won't get away with it. I'll tell.
Tell what?
That you were being a dirty old fink trying to seduce me with a jaunty tune. I made it clear that I wasn't interested in your advances.
Seduce? You misunderstand.
What I understand is you're a married man.
I don't want my wife to be in my cabinet. Besides, she's probably going to be going to prison. And the one thing I know is that the Bernie will not be giving her a pardon.
Say what now?
I wanted you to be in my cabinet, but clearly, AOC, Andrea, you think the burn is into the hanky-panky. I'm sorry, but just because I'm down here in a robe trying to talk to you about stories of Cuba does not mean that I'm trying to seduce you. I must rescind the offer and do to you what you did to Amazon.com and say, get out.
What is happening? Wow.
Well, I like that version.
Yeah,
it's a very nice family-friendly version.
There's a lot happening.
A lot happening there. I mean, you know, Dawn, it's obvious too. I think he is trying to get her to stay, but you know,
he's in his robe. How inappropriate!
Wow. Yeah, he's hanging out in the robe, reading Karl Marx to her with his Stalin etchings.
Like a little silk robe.
Yeah, that's just you know. And then, of course, you know, the millennial broads. I mean, just very offensive language from Bernie. He's just so angry and nasty, you know?
I love toots when he calls her toots.
It's going to be a top seller.
It's going to do very, very well, that song.
It's already flying off the charts for Amazon.
I'm told iTunes. It's now going to be played on B101.
No, it's not.
As part of their Christmas rotation.
I love it.
Can you imagine if we snuck that into their rotation? It'd be great.
You walk in through the mall and you hear that, you know, baby, stay with the burn. What is going on here?
It started out with Barry White and then it was Baby, It's Cold Outside, and then it turned into like this pontificating.
You know, and Joe, by the way, Joe did the voice of AOC on that, our parody director, ginger comedian great Joe Sebelia. Well done, Joe. Terrifying how close you sound to AOC. It's really scary.
That must be how I did it.
I hope you use some sort of manipulation of the audio feed or something, right?
Surgery, but you were close.
Surgery.
Yeah. Surgery.
Did the tuck.
Well, listen, I'm happy that you can do AOC so well, all right? I mean, not in the Bernie style of doing AOC, but I mean just in terms of doing her voice. So good job with that.
Thank you.
We also have, you know, some people don't like the laughter on the show. That's one of the things I always hear about. People just don't like it. They get nasty. They really don't like the laughter. There's too much fun, too much enjoyment on the show. We have, sometimes people call and leave messages for the show. Did you know that? We have a voicemail box.
Yes.
And I never check it. I don't check it very often, but Joe checked it for me. And we have this caller. Take a listen.
Yeah, you're Richie? Listen to your show this morning. Awful lot of laughing. And I don't want to hear it. I gotta go home every day. I'm expected to be happy. Hap, hap, happy. With a smile on my face and a song on my heart. I don't want to have a song on my heart. That's why it's a talk radio. I gotta turn on this morning show and I gotta hear you and that Dawn lady cackling. And that Greg with his phony laugh. Who the hell does he think he is? You know what my wife is like, Rich? Huh? Huh? My wife likes to torture me. She's always tickling me. She tickles me for 3 hours a night. I gotta laugh at home. I don't want to have to laugh in the car on my way in. Got a bunch of animals in the house because she's always singing and being all chipper, and the squirrels and the birds, they all help her clean. She thinks she's Cinderella or something. You want to make me laugh, but I want to be miserable. Here's what I want in the morning. Traffic and anger. More anger. I want to start my day so angry, my head explodes, and you, with your little megaphone, you don't make me angry, and that's what makes me angry. I'll never listen to this show again as long as I live, so tomorrow, I better not hear any of your little jokes.
Wow.
He had a little trouble hanging up the phone there at the end, didn't he? Wow. Well, listen, I mean, he's never listening again, so I won't even bother then to tell him there'll be absolutely no laughter on the show going forward. So there you go.
Wow.
You want anger? You're going to get anger, sir. I promise you that. Very good.
This guy's really angry.
Guy's angry. That's what he wants.
Wow.
We aim to please on this program, so if you want anger, you shall get anger, okay?
No.
You shall get it.
There's no anger here.
This is an anger-free zone.
Anger has no home here.
By the way, speaking of anger, there's a guy named Guy Snodgrass, which I would be very angry if my name was Guy Snodgrass. He was on Fox News refusing to confirm or deny he authored the book Anonymous. Remember the New York Times had that piece that was leaked of a guy who works in the Trump administration who's working against the president on a day-by-day basis. He was hailed by the media as being a hero, a true patriot trying to undermine the president of the United States of America. Of course, this guy Snodgrass comes from the Pentagon. He's in the deep state. I mean, I've always said to you, I said this to the president too. You know, Mr. President, it seems to me like the people that really want to stop you the most are the ones who are opposed to the fact that you don't want new wars and you want to bring the troops home. And sure enough, Guy Snodgrass comes from the Pentagon. He's part of the military industrial complex, and he won't confirm or deny if he's the one who wrote the new book Anonymous, which details the hard work of this brave patriot who tries to stop the duly elected president of the United States. In a real world, we would say this guy is trying to orchestrate a coup against the president, and we would be calling this guy out for trying to undermine democracy. But no, in this world, in this bizarro world we live in, because their hatred of Trump so much, the guy's kind of a hero. Fox News tries to get him to admit he's the author of the piece. Guy Snodgrass, take a listen.
Guy Snodgrass is a retired naval commander. He was also Defense Secretary James Mattis's communications director and chief speechwriter. He tweeted out the New Republic article today commenting, "The swirl continues, and now Guy Snodgrass is here. He is also the author of Holding the Line Inside Trump's Pentagon. And if you look at this, the article in the New Republic, Guy, first of all, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. At the article, the author, David Kusnet, pretty much hits all the high points. I mean, he makes a very good case. And the question is, are you anonymous?
Great question. As you mentioned, I have a book out right now with my name on it called Holding the Line. I do appreciate that the New Republic said that the writing was excellent across both books. That's a great sales pitch. But I'll tell you what, if I was going to make an announcement like that, I'd do it right. I'd come into the studio with you there in New York City.
So you're saying you're not denying that you're anonymous. You're just saying this is not the proper venue to make that statement. Am I hearing you properly?
Now, what I'm saying is I just heard this reporting as I was coming over to the studio. I got invited on to talk about national security. And like you said earlier, when you were talking with Jennifer, there's a lot to talk about there.
There is a lot to talk about there, but there's also kind of a lot to talk about here, Guy. And I'm curious.
He wants off this conversation so bad.
Wow.
Oh, man. He's dying to get off this conversation. Good for the Fox News host for not letting him off the hook, by the way. Good for him to get Guy Snodgrass on the record. But Snodgrass wants to put his snot in the grass and get the hell out of there and not answer anything.
The name.
Keep it going.
There is a lot to talk about there, but there's also kind of a lot to talk about here, Guy. And I'm curious because why not just deny it outright? You sent out the tweet. You said you just heard about it on your way to the studio, but you sent out the tweet today. You know, not really denying it, kind of saying the swirl continues. What did you mean by that?
Well, look, it's the latest in a long series of D.C. parlor games. It's not unique to this point in time. I mean, this has been going on for decades and decades. And, of course, I, like many of your viewers, read the anonymous op-ed from last year. So, like I said, it's interesting. I went ahead and retweeted out the story just because it caught my eye and someone put it on my radar.
In other words, you are the guy who wrote it, and you just don't want to admit it because you know that what you're doing is undermining democracy, but you also want everybody to pat you on the back and go, Guy Snodgrass, you're such a great guy, Snodgrass. You're such a great guy, Snodgrass. Look, I'm sorry, but when these military people try to undermine the president because they think they know better than him what's policy, that's very dangerous for our republic. That's very, very dangerous. You see, in our country, as you know, we elect a president of the United States. 63 million people voted for Donald Trump. You don't have to like him. You don't have to agree with him all the time. I certainly don't agree with him all the time. I do like him, but I don't agree with him all the time. But the idea that we'll have people in the deep state who will work to undermine him because they know better than him. They want to institute policies that is different from him. That is dangerous. That is really dangerous. And you know as well as I do that if this were the Obama administration and Guy Snodgrass was a Republican trying to undermine Obama, the media would be losing their minds. They'd be losing their minds, calling him a racist and saying that this guy is a threat to the Republic. He should be arrested, investigated, tried for treason, tried for a coup. With Trump, they all go, he's such a brave patriot. We can't wait to read his book. If we live in a country where the military gets to decide the final say on policy, we're done. We're done as a free country. You know what I'm thankful for this coming Thanksgiving? I'm thankful for the fact that the president of the United States is a civilian who gets to tell the military no, who gets to tell the military what to do. And sometimes the military doesn't like that. A little temper tantrum the Navy secretary had. Listen, pal, if you don't like it, run for president. But until you're the commander-in-chief, shut the hell up and do your job, all right? Because we don't live in a military dictatorship, and I hope to God we never do. I'm thankful for the fact we have a republic. Thankful for the fact that the president of the United States is the commander-in-chief of that military, and they work for him, they answer to him, he answers to us. That's how it works. And if you don't like it, you can run, you can do what you want, but stop trying to undermine the president from the Pentagon. Enough is enough. That's what I'm thankful for this Thanksgiving, the fact that the president keeps pushing back on these people. It's very, very important for our freedom and our liberty. The Zioli Show coming right back.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots.
He scored!
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.